It is 1:31. This is KYR 89.1. I'm Daniel Breen. We're breaking into our programming this hour to bring you live coverage of Governor Asa Hutchinson's latest daily briefing on the coronavirus outbreak here in Arkansas. At yesterday's briefing, we heard the state had seen a total of 4,043 people ever test positive for the coronavirus and 94 people who have died from COVID-19 in Arkansas. The latest update from the health department website shows that that number is unchanged as of this hour. But as we are accustomed to seeing in these daily briefings, we could possibly see both of those totals go up today. We heard yesterday, we saw yesterday, that restaurants here in the natural state were allowed to reopen in a limited fashion at one-third capacity with, of course, strict social distancing guidelines in effect. That follows gyms, barbershops, hair salons, tattoo shops, and large outdoor venues, other businesses that had been restricted during the COVID-19 pandemic. But we have seen some of those restrictions being rolled back. And the next few restrictions we can expect to see being rolled back next Monday, indoor venues, casinos, museums, funeral homes, movie theaters, things like that. Those will be allowed to reopen in Arkansas also in a limited fashion with certain guidelines in place. And on May 22nd, we will see recreational swimming pools and water parks in Arkansas being allowed to reopen. Again, yesterday, we heard the state had 4,043 total cases of the coronavirus. Of those, about 800 are considered active or were considered active yesterday. It's unclear if we will see an additional few cases added to that tally today. Of the 803 active cases, 278 as of yesterday were from correctional institutions in the state. That includes the federal correctional institution in Forest City in East Arkansas, where a total of 332 inmates and 16 staff have tested positive. The Cummins unit, that's a state prison near Pine Bluff, roughly 900 inmates there have tested positive, and a total of 7 inmates from the Cummins unit have died from COVID-19. And 9 inmates from the Cummins unit as of yesterday were hospitalized with COVID-19, including one person who was on a ventilator. And again, you're listening to live coverage of Governor Asa Hutchinson's latest daily briefing on the coronavirus outbreak here in Arkansas. This is 89.1 KUAR, and you can always listen live online at KUAR.org, as well as catch up on some of our coverage from Governor Asa Hutchinson's previous briefings done daily on the coronavirus outbreak, as well as some other topics that we have explored related to the coronavirus pandemic. Again, we are awaiting Governor Asa Hutchinson's live remarks from the state capitol. This comes after he was in El Dorado yesterday at the headquarters of Murphy USA. That is a gas station retailer chain that is a spinoff of Murphy Oil, which had its headquarters for many years in El Dorado in South Arkansas, but announced late last week it would be closing its offices in the city and moving its headquarters to Houston. Again, the state has seen a total of 4,043 total cases of the coronavirus. Of those, 803 are considered active. Of those, 278 are from inmates and staff of state prisons, 86 from nursing homes, and 439 from the general public. And now we go live to Governor Asa Hutchinson. This is KYR.
I'm waiting, got a little carried away, so ready to go now. And I want to thank everybody for joining me for today's COVID-19 update. And I'm joined by Dr. Nate Smith, Secretary of Health, and also Director A.J. Geary, our Director of ADAM. Appreciate him joining us today. Let's first look at the cases. And by the way, the face mask was made by someone who got their stimulus check and decided to use it for helping others and started making masks. So I did want to showcase that mask today, and really encouraged by that kind of spirit from someone in Arkansas. Yesterday we had 4,043 cases. Today there is an uptick in the cases of 121. That brings us to 4,164 cases. In terms of hospitalizations, our hospitalizations are down 2, which brings us down to 59. In terms of deaths, we have lost another Arkansan, so our deaths are now at 95. The new cases of 121, let me just mention that 100 of those are in terms of the community, and 21 of those are in our correctional facilities. And of the 100 in our community, 27 of those are in St. Francis County. Now, St. Francis County is Forest City, which is the same location of the Federal Correctional Institute, the federal prison there in Forest City. And so clearly that's a concern that we first had the outbreak in the prison facility, and the worry is that it would spread to the community. And I want to make sure that everyone there in Forest City knows the importance of sticking with our social guidelines and distancing and wearing of masks for their own protection and the protection of others, because we don't want this spike to become larger. And so that's something we're watching very closely. We did do 1,753 tests, which is a good number, but we want that number to increase. And so tomorrow we hope to outline additional initiatives over the rest of the month to meet our 60,000 test goal that we have set. With that, let's look at the charts for today. And again, this is the one that shows our trend pattern. And with the height of about 300 of cases that occurred in mid-April. And then you see us on the downward trajectory, but we have these spikes. And as I've said, we're gonna have spikes from time to time. So I'm not alarmed by one that, particularly with the level of testing we're doing, one that will spike up like that. You know, the next day we came down, and then today we're at about 120-something, 121 cases. Now, what is worrisome is you have sequential days that continue to go up. This is worrisome because of those number in the community and the fact that we had 27 of those in St. Francis County in one county. And so go to the next chart. And this is the 7-day rolling average, which is the orange line. You can see the trend line. The next slide is the number of currently hospitalized COVID-19 patients. And you can see where we've actually reduced the numbers, where we were up way over 100. And of course, now it's down to 60, or actually 59 hospitalized cases. Now here again, when you have an increase in the number of cases, eventually you're going to have an increase in the number of hospitalized. So there could be a little bit of a tick upward at some point on that, but it continues to reflect well. And then the next slide is the number of active cases, those that have not recovered. And of course, that's a smaller number where we had the peak of a number of active cases, about 1,420. And now we're down to about 800 and some active cases. So we're still way, way below where we were at the peak. Dr. Fauci testified today before a Senate Health Committee, and I was able to catch a little bit of Senator Fauci's testimony and some of what he had to say. And what he emphasized was that my concern, and this is a quote from Dr. Fauci, "My concern is that we will start to see little spikes that might turn into outbreaks," end quote. Now, let me just say that we continue in Arkansas to follow the CDC guidelines, to take them seriously. And we are working hard to make sure those little spikes that we see do not become into outbreaks or a resurgence. And that is what we are focused on, and what I hope everyone is focused on, is that we're going to have spikes. Let's don't let those spikes become outbreaks. And that is why it is so critical that we enhance our tracing capability, our contacts with them, with our social distancing as well, and then the isolation and treatment once we ascertain the cause for that particular spike. I do have one announcement that I'd like to make today, and that is that Arkansas is receiving a quantity of the new drug remdesivir, which is produced by Gilead Science for COVID-19 patients. This is just simply a part of the packaging material that we received today, that we're delighted to receive this allocation for Arkansas from the CDC, produced by Gilead Science, and this will be enough for 50 patients is the quantity that we are receiving in Arkansas. And this will be distributed by the Arkansas Department of Health. Now, the drug remdesivir, of course, is that which is going to help our patients as they are perhaps having respiratory problems. They might be on a ventilator, they're hospitalized. This is designed to give relief and to hopefully speed a recovery. Whenever we say we have enough for 50 patients, you've got to put that in perspective that we have 59 that are hospitalized, and some of those will not qualify for the remdesivir and this new drug. And so it's probably about right for the number of hospitalized patients that we have now. But I consider this good news, and I wanted to announce that we did receive that today. With that, we hope to have future decision points. Again, let me emphasize decision points, which just simply means we're making an announcement on what we're gonna do in reference to a particular grouping and lifting of restrictions. And the bars that we have that are still closed in Arkansas and have been closed for some time, we want to look at those as to May 18th, making a decision as to what date in the future they can open or under what restrictions and whether they can be lifted. And so we're going to be making an announcement on May 18th, and we just wanted to give the owners of those establishments an understanding as to where they can see a decision point for the future. And then I think it's been mentioned, but summer camps and team sports, we will announce plans for those and whether we can lift the restrictions and the time frame for those on May 20th. So two dates next week, May 18th and then May 20th. And with that, Dr. Smith.
This is Health Secretary Dr. Nate Smith. This is KRAR 89.1.
I want to give a few more details on the numbers, then I've got a few things I want to mention specifically. The governor mentioned that we had 121 new cases since yesterday. 21 of those were in correctional institutions, and 100 were in a community. And I'm going to come back to those 100 in just a bit. That brings us to a total of 4,164 cases. Of those, 849 are considered active cases. As the governor mentioned, we have 59 currently hospitalized. That's a net decrease of 2 since yesterday. We have 12 who are currently on a ventilator. That's an increase of 1 since yesterday. And we have 95 deaths, which is an increase of 1 since yesterday. We have a total of 3,220 who have recovered. That's an increase of 71 since yesterday. As a brief update on our nursing home situations, we currently have 50 nursing homes we are following because they have one or more residents or workers who have tested positive. We have a total of 299 residents who have tested positive. That's an increase of 10 from yesterday. And we have 174 staff. That's an increase of 2 since yesterday. As a brief update on the Cummins unit, COVID-19 outbreak. We've had 3 additional cases, so we're up to a total of 900 inmates. We are still at 60 staff. We don't have any new reports from the FCI in Forest City, but I do want to come back to the 100 community cases that we have and looking at where those are coming from. At least 27 of them are from St. Francis County. And over the weekend, UAMS, together with the Arkansas Department of Health, has done some community testing there. So some of those are coming from that effort. But this is a community that I'm concerned about. We have not just the FCI with the inmates, but we also have workers there, many of whom have not yet been tested. And I would encourage those who work at the FCI there to get tested, either by their private physicians or at one of these community testing events. We will be doing testing shortly in our local health unit, so there'll be available options. But it's important for those who work at the FCI, both for their safety and the safety of their families, to come forward and get tested. We will also be working with community leaders there to do some more testing within that community in an organized way so that we are able to identify cases as quickly as possible. On the way over here, I heard about a graduation party that's planned in Forest City for Friday evening. And that probably isn't a good idea in a community where we know we have now community transmission of COVID-19 at higher levels than in many other communities. Testing, I want to mention that. We've been talking about the importance of testing. Now we do have testing capability in terms of our commercial labs, in terms of the Arkansas Department of Health Public Health Lab, and then several hospitals, including UAMS, have testing capacity. We have plenty of the collection kits. We received a large number in the last few days from our federal partners, coming from the IRR, Interagency Reagent Resource. So we've got plenty of collection kits. We've got the testing capacity. What we need is people in the community to come forward. If you have symptoms, if you've been exposed, or if you're in a community where we've had some activity, we want people to come forward to get tested. We have testing sites at hospitals. We have testing sites at community health centers, clinics, other freestanding sites to be tested. So it's important that we work together to increase the testing. I am concerned about this increase in the number of cases, the 100 in the community especially, but I'm even more concerned about the cases that we don't know about. And that's why it's so important that we increase testing, not just in Forest City, but throughout the state. Until we're testing all people who have symptoms and all people who have had contact with known or suspected cases of COVID-19, then I won't be comfortable. I don't think any of us should be comfortable saying, well, we don't have it here, or we don't have it there, or it's safe to have a party tonight, or it's safe to have this event, you know, at this time. We really need to know who's positive, who's negative, who's been exposed, and who's not been exposed. Finally, what I wanted to talk about briefly is the remdesivir. This is a bright spot. This is a drug that Gilead has produced. It does show some activity. It's not a miracle drug, but we are glad to have some donated supply in Arkansas. We will have enough initially for 50 patients. As of yesterday, there were 52 patients who might meet the criteria. This is really only for those who are more severely ill, either on a ventilator or with low oxygen levels. There are some contraindications. We don't usually give this to someone who has severe liver disease or severe kidney disease, but many of those 52 may be candidates. So we will be getting this out to the hospitals where those patients are to be used as quickly as possible. Of course, it'll be under the care of their physicians, and it'll be, each patient will be a clinical judgment by their treatment team. But I'm encouraged by that. We continue to have the convalescent plasma program, so there are some good positive developments for those who are more severely ill. But the most important thing is for us to prevent cases, and that's what we're doing every day in terms of the physical distancing, the masks. I'm glad to see most people here are wearing masks and are all separated by at least 6 feet. So thank you for doing your part and setting a good example. With that, I'll turn it back over to the governor.
Thank you, Dr. Smith. And with that, we'll take questions. Ms. Leslie.
Do we have any active cases per county?
Active cases per county?
I mean, is there a county breakdown on active cases?
There is. Perhaps Dr. Smith can try to put that together. I don't think we have that handy, but we have it broken down by county. But active cases would probably take some compilation to get that ready. Yes?
Other than the Forest City area, are there any other places you've seen concentrations of cases, and is there any indication that this is a result of relaxing some of the restrictions on social interaction?
No, I mean the answer is on the latter part. What we see in Forest City is not a result, in our view, as to relaxing some of the restrictions. It's really the result of inadequate testing that was done at the FCI, and in terms of particularly the staff. And as you know, in Cummins, we went down there and we tested all the staff that might have been exposed in those particular barracks. Not all of the same procedures were followed at FCI and Forest City, and therefore you have a lot of contact with the staff, with the community, and that's what we were concerned about, and that's what we see as the reason for that spike in St. Francis County. Dr. Smith, are you aware of any other areas of concern other than at Forest City?
No.
Yes, Beck.
We're following up on that event at Temple Live at Fort Smith. Plans not approved by the state. For events like that, must plans be approved by the state? What oversight does the state have? Do you foresee the state intervening? Because we're hearing as of now, the show is still a go. And as far as those plans, we heard that the state believes they are insufficient. Can you talk specifically what's insufficient other than the date being 3 days before your directive allowed?
Well, there's a couple different issues there. In reference to the concert that's planned in Fort Smith that has received some national publicity. And in terms of that, clearly it is 3 days before we determined it was an appropriate time to open up to a limited capacity some of those indoor venues. And even if you were going to have 250 people at a venue, you still had to have a specific plan that would be approved by the Department of Health. None of that was done in this case. It's out of time. Can you imagine what reaction we would have had across Arkansas if we set the date for May 11th to open up restaurants, but a bunch of them just decided to do that on May 5th? You can't just arbitrarily determine when the restrictions are lifted. That is something that is done based upon a public health requirement. In terms of the concert, there will be a cease and desist order that will be issued by the Department of Health directing that concert not take place, which is an official legal order and directive that will go out. Yes, Alexis.
With Louisiana entering phase one on Friday, do you think this will affect Arkansas and our border cities?
Well, actually, of course, as you know, we were in El Dorado yesterday and in Texarkana last week, so I got a sense of how we're handling it in the border cities. And, you know, in Texarkana, for example, we have opened it up for indoor dining of our restaurants to one-third capacity. Well, over on the Texas side, it's 20%. So there's just a little distinction there. You know, on the Louisiana side, it's the same. They have a more limited capacity for what they're opening up, and their limitation capacity is across the board. So there's obviously some distinctions. It's been an advantage to us that we've had a statewide policy that's clearly communicated, and everybody in the state can follow that. I don't see any more of a challenge in our border cities than what they've had before. They're managing it very well. Our case numbers there are down comparison to across the state line. Yes?
Governor, I saw a comment on your Facebook page from a lady that there might be some possible cases in the Boar's Head meat processing factory in Forest City. Are you aware of this? Seeing that the increase in that county, are there any protections in that meat processing factory?
Very good question, and we talked about that. Dr. Smith, do you want to address that?
And this is Health Secretary Dr. Nate Smith.
I have concerns. I have not had any specific reports to me about that facility, but we're concerned really about all the businesses there. All the businesses are potentially at risk if COVID-19 is circulating that community. So it's really to everyone's interest to identify these cases as quickly as possible so they can be isolated, their contacts can be quarantined and also tested.
Is anyone remote? Yes, remotely, please go ahead.
Gentlemen, thank you. Rolly Hook, KHB 11. We're seeing so many national stories in the last few days as other states have started to open up, and they always include citations of experts that say that states like Arkansas and others are in a rush or are not ready to open. So, Dr. Smith, as an epidemiologist, how do you react when other doctors, experts like Thomas Frieden, from the CDC or even Dr. Fauci today, how do you react when they say that they believe politics or pressure are behind the decisions that you're making?
Dr. Smith, did you hear that question? I'm going to let you take a whack at it. He addressed it to you. He didn't address it to me, maybe because I'm part of the political side of that equation, but I will answer it after you do. And I would like to have the slide up that shows the history of cases, new cases.
And Health Secretary Nate Smith again.
First of all, I think these are both Dr. Fried and Dr. Fauci are men who are very respected in their field. I have deep respect for them. I know their statements are have to do with the nation as a whole and a particular concern for this period of time. They're not addressed specifically to Arkansas. I think when we had a chance to talk to Dr. Fauci several weeks back, he was very complimentary of our efforts. When I had a chance to talk with Dr. Redfield last week, he was very complimentary of the work that we had done here. And I think they would all expect for us to look at our epidemiology in our state, make decisions based on what we have here rather than what we're reading in the newspaper, even if they're the ones who said it. In terms of political pressure, the governor and I have worked very closely together. Obviously, this is not just a public health issue. It's also an economic issue. It touches, it's an educational issue. It touches all the areas of our lives. So from that standpoint, it's a political issue, but there's not a political pressure for us to do things that are unwise from a public health standpoint. We are making decisions that make sense in terms of our epidemiology, and as a consequence, we've been able to keep the number of cases, and particularly the number of deaths, at a low level compared to other surrounding states. I would reiterate what the governor said. We are looking carefully at where we're seeing clusters so that we don't have clusters turn into large outbreaks, and that's why we're going to take action based on what we're seeing in today's numbers. And that's how we will be doing it really pretty much going forward until COVID-19 is in the history books. This is what this case investigation and contact tracing is all about, going quickly to the scene of the crime and solving it quickly so it doesn't become a large outbreak, looking where there's smoke because that's where the fire is likely to be. So that's the process that we will continue to do here, and I think that's what Dr. Fauci and Dr. Frieden would also agree with.
Thank you, Dr. Smith. And just to elaborate, what I think some of the national stories are about some of the states that did not wait till they met the CDC guidelines to enter phase one, the gating criteria. As you know, I've gone through the gating criteria for phase one, and you know, we were comfortable that we met those criteria, and I think anybody who looks at the decline in positivity, the decline in the cases over that period, then we met the criteria for phase one. Now, if you see a spike, that may delay the entering of phase two, and that's where the debate is now, and that is where we are. Phase one, when can we get to phase two? And that's why it's so critical to stay on the right path. With that, is another question remotely.
Yeah, afternoon, Governor Neil Gleitner at KGNV down in Hot Springs. And I'm not sure if this is for you or for Dr. Smith, but two things on the numbers. Of the 100 in the community, 27 from St. Francis County, that still leaves 73 elsewhere. And so that becomes a bigger number than we've seen in the community. And then to your comment about being careful that a spike doesn't become an outbreak, what's that number? Where does it go from spike to outbreak?
Dr. Smith, I'll let you tackle that.
And Health Secretary Nate Smith again.
Yeah, a spike really is completely contextual. If you have a very small community, for example, remember Claiborne County, their spike was a little over 50 cases. That was significant for a community that has only a little over 800 residents. Now, for a big city like Little Rock, a spike would be higher, but we're really looking at the context in which we'd like to catch those spikes as small as possible and address them as quickly as possible. Now, in terms of the other, I've mentioned that at least 27 of those were from St. Francis County. We've looked at where the other cases are. Again, this is just, one day's worth of cases. The next largest numbers was 12 from Pulaski County. Well, Pulaski County has got a lot of people in it, and so 12 cases in Pulaski County is not that much in terms of a percentage increase. And then after that, it drops down to 7, 6, et cetera. So not large numbers from any of the other counties. Now, we don't always get county data from these test results, and we have 12 of these 100 from the community where we don't have county data. And so that's why I say at least 27, because some of those 12 may also be from St. Francis County.
And just to prepare you for the future, I'm very interested in tracing these down myself and following the contact tracing, understanding it, making sure we're getting everything done that we can. And so I asked Dr. Smith and his team to brief me on, I believe it was last Saturday's 64 increase in cases. As we do the contact tracing, where do they come from? Where have we contacted the others that might have been in contact with them? How we've handled that? How are we following up? And so we're going to use that as an illustration as to how contact tracing works. So we're going to take those 64 in a couple of days and bring it back to you and show you a little bit as to everything we know, of course, regarding privacy and respecting privacy. We're going to show you what we know on that one day's sample of cases. So stay tuned. Is there another question remotely? Jay? Well, go ahead remotely. Go ahead, Mike. You're breaking up. Can you help us again?
Yes, this is Michael Dilling, Talk Business and Politics.
Go ahead, Michael.
Well, you just mentioned the 14-day issue. Can you help me understand how Arkansas met that?
Well, what are you speaking of 14 days of what, Michael?
Well, let me go through this for a second. On April 28th, you showed a recent peak. Didn't even had an uptick on April 30th, but let's go with April 28th. That would mean roughly today is the 14th day, but even that includes around 4 days in which the number of new cases rose. And yet we've had limited openings within that 14-day period, so please explain to someone like me who is never good at math how 14 days is not exactly 14 days.
Well, you can look at a trend line, first of all, but Michael, if you will go to the guidelines and the gating criteria for opening up America, you will see that there's two alternatives for meeting the criteria. One is a decline in cases, and the other is a decline in positivity rate. So take another look at that, and I think you can see where we meet that criteria. Yes, ma'am.
Can you comment on what's being done to reopen schools in the fall?
Reopen schools in the fall. I've met with Secretary Key. We've discussed this. We're getting a lot of comments, of course, and ideas from school administrators, teachers, and parents as well. But a date, one, has not been set. But we do hope to be fully engaged in terms of in-classroom instruction next year. That is the working model that we're looking at. And so just stay tuned as to the specific time frame for that, as to when the first day of classes will be. But we are certainly looking at having a full schedule of classes next year in classroom instruction.
Thank you.
to see some spikes here and there, but I guess when it comes to preventing the outbreaks, what can the state do to prevent those outbreaks in those little pockets? Or is that going to kind of fall 50-50 on Arkansans themselves to kind of help with that as well?
Well, of course, Arkansans are critical to preventing the spread, and the social distancing, the wearing of masks, following the guidelines. So it's really all dependent upon individual discipline and respect for this virus as to how we conduct ourselves. Now, in terms of what we can do as a state to prevent a spike from becoming an outbreak is, one, identify it, and that is the testing. So we know quickly where there might be a spike, something that we need to watch very closely. Identify the spike, and then you have to go in and be able to do the contact tracing to envelop it, and then to isolate it, and that is a kind of activity that we have to do to control and make sure that something that's a spike does not become an outbreak. Yes.
The White House yesterday set a goal of testing it was 1% of the population each week, which would be basically double of current goal in Arkansas. And also, Deborah Birx said she thinks every nursing home resident and staff member should be tested. So is that something we're planning on doing?
Well, you know, we working with the White House, I mean, we developed our own testing plan here that was consistent with their goal of having 2% of our population tested. So that is our working model. And that's why we are looking at 60,000 tests being done in May. Now, you know, if you want to look down the road to this summer or next fall, we very well will have a different testing model, but I think it depends upon, you know, whether we're concentrating on antibody testing, whether we're concentrating on the type of testing that we're doing now. Dr. Smith, do you? I'm treading on your territory, so you better.
Health Secretary Nate Smith again.
The governor's doing a very good job with that. This issue of nursing homes in particular is a particular concern because these are high-risk groups in high-risk settings. And there are basically one of two approaches that are being taken now. The approach that we've taken up till now is when we identify a positive case, then we go in very quickly, a rapid response, and test everyone, staff and residents, and then we you know, we segregate those who are positive, those who are exposed, and basically extinguish the spark. The other strategy is to go and test everybody, regardless of whether there are any cases or anyone symptomatic, and if you find they're all negative, the problem is then, who's to say that someone won't bring it in tomorrow? And so then the question is, how often do you retest? And then the question is, well, you know, one of my colleagues in another state has decided they're going to test every nursing home resident, every nursing home worker twice a week, every 3.5 days. It's a lot of testing. Question then is, once you test someone, do you let them continue working? And then if they turn positive, then they've exposed people. You know, there's all sorts of questions. So there's no easy route to this. Again, right now, we're using a rapid response approach, and it has been largely successful for us in catching outbreaks at the very earliest possible time. But we may be going to a strategy of doing more testing even in nursing homes where there's no symptomatic cases, but we'll look at that carefully and especially weigh the experience of other states that are already trying to do that.
Can you clarify if customers need to wear masks in restaurants?
The answer is yes. The guidelines for in-service dining, that the customer should wear masks as well as the staff, and the customer should wear the mask until the order is taken or until the drinks or food are served.
So, because we've been told that it's up to the restaurant if they're going to require customers to do that. So is it up to the Department of Health or is it up to the restaurants?
Well, it is set forth in the guidelines, the directive of the Department of Health allowing in-room dining at one-third capacity, that in phase one, that we require the wearing of masks by the staff as well as by the patron up until the time the patron is, the order is taken or the food or drink is served.
Okay, we've been told that it would be up to the restaurants by your spokesperson, so.
Well, did I miss anything there? It's not up to the restaurants.
If they would require the customers to wear masks in the restaurants.
No, the customers have to wear masks in the restaurants if you're going in for in-room dining. They'd have to wear the mask up until the time the food is, or drink is, the order is taken or they're served. And now if you're looking at carry out, obviously the patron, that is not required at that point to wear a mask. All right, let's take one more question remotely and then we'll see if we can't wrap this up. Yes, well, I said yes, I don't see anybody.
Governor, this is Andrew with AT. Wanted to clarify on the announcements you're making next week on bars, is that going to include nightclubs? And I guess wanted to get a sense of, you know, how do you think the state's going to be able to police social distancing with that, especially with some of the things we saw over the weekend with retailers and other places. How are you going to be able to really, you know, police or enforce social distancing at places like bars and nightclubs?
Well, the first responsibility is for the owner of the business to police their own establishment, in other words, to make sure that they're in compliance with all guidelines, and then it's up to the patrons to discipline themselves and do the right thing. You know, the Department of Health responds to complaints. Obviously, not every instance, sometimes you get the complaint 2 days afterwards, but we can actually follow up. I followed up on some of the concerns that I saw over the weekend. And don't assume that when we make the announcement in terms of bars that that's going to be all inclusive. It is a different environment in the large scale indoor venues, but we have separate rules for that as well. So just stay tuned in terms of the extent of that announcement on May 18th. Leslie.
I have a question about the special problems that poultry plants present, in that contact tracing may be difficult because I understand the department is somewhat reliant on the plants to inform them. And also there is a portion of the workforce that does not want to come forward because they're undocumented perhaps. So how do you deal with all these sort of special circumstances at poultry? At our poultry plants, where there have been 50 infections and one death, and just.
Well, the employer has contact information for every employee. So that is a starting point, but Dr. Smith, have you had any difficulty there?
Health Secretary Dr. Nate Smith.
Certainly, with any business where a large number of their employees have been infected, we try and work closely with them to make those connections. But from the perspective of the Arkansas Department of Health, we don't need that because we can do a contact investigation just the way we would in any community outbreak. We know who people have come in contact with, and we can do it in the normal sort of detective kind of way that we do our contact tracing. So it's helpful if we're with an employer who gives us a whole list of folks and we can, that speeds us along, but we can accomplish the same thing whether that person is an employee of a particular plant or a particular business or with a community member in general.
Concerns that some of them won't come forward because they're undocumented. I mean, is there a way for you all to deal with that?
I'm not sure I exactly understand the question. If someone tests positive then we will do.
I'm just saying people not getting tested, going to work, not wanting to
right.
get in trouble, not
certainly.
Wanting to be.
Well, there's a lot of barrier. There are many barriers people may have to whether to decide to get tested or not. One of them is language, of course, and culture, and we're trying to address that, particularly with our Marshallese community and with our Latino community as well. I don't know that there's a particular reason for anyone to fear losing their job from being tested or even from being testing positive. I haven't heard of that as a specific concern, but we do know we need to make linguistically and culturally appropriate messaging to reach our some of our hard-to-reach populations.
Yes, last question at the table.
Okay, I just want to circle back to the masks in restaurants because we're hearing a lot of confusion from restaurant owners and people. After the directive came out, we were told both by your spokesperson and by the Department of Health spokesperson that it would be left up to restaurant owners if they would require customers to wear masks, like a no shoes, no shirt, no mask kind of thing. And so I just want to hear from you again, because that's what we were told.
Okay, I've articulated that twice as
or
to...
Are you just not on the same page with your communications team?
Well, Dr. Smith, do you want to answer that since I've answered it twice?
No. The language of the directive is absolutely clear. Now, what is up to the restaurant and really to the patrons is to, I can't be in every restaurant looking over someone's shoulder, but the directive is very clear about what's required. And if we get a complaint or if we have an inspection and we find people not in accordance with the directive, you know, then that's a deficiency. And that's something that will have to be corrected immediately. So it is up to the restaurant owners to enforce the directive, but it's not up to the enforcer, to the restaurant owners to rewrite the directive.
Thank you.
And that was Governor Asa Hutchinson alongside Health Secretary Dr. Nate Smith speaking in the latest daily briefing on the coronavirus outbreak here in Arkansas. You're listening to 89.1 KUAR Little Rock, a listener-supported service of UA Little Rock in partnership with UAMS. Just a brief update of what we heard today. The state saw a total of 4,164 people test positive for the coronavirus. That is an increase of 121 new cases over yesterday, and that is a larger spike than we are used to seeing, at least recently. We have had one more person die from COVID-19. That brings the total number of deaths from that disease in Arkansas to 95. Of the 121 additional cases added from yesterday to today, 100 are from the community and 21 are from prisons. And that is a little bit of a difference from what we have been seeing. We've been generally attributing these large spikes in additional cases to congregate settings like prisons and nursing homes. But today, maybe the first time, not sure about that, but we are seeing that the spike of 121 new cases is largely from the community, and 27 of those 100 community cases are from St. Francis County. And we heard Health Secretary Dr. Nate Smith say that that is a concern to him because St. Francis County is the county in which Forest City is, I believe, the county seat, Forest City over there in eastern Arkansas. And of course, Forest City is also the home to the Federal Correctional Institution in Forest City, where a total of 332 inmates have tested positive for the coronavirus. So Health Secretary Smith saying that increase in the community cases in St. Francis County perhaps may be related to people who work at the Federal Correctional Institution over there in Forest City, or may have had contact with someone who has been working there who may have tested positive, may not have tested positive yet, but may be carrying the coronavirus. And also, in addition to the Federal Correctional Institution of Forest City, we've seen a number of inmates at the Cummins Unit test positive near Pine Bluff, 900 inmates total. That is an increase since yesterday, as well as 60 staff over there at the Cummins Unit State Prison. And we also heard an update on the drug remdesivir. That is a drug that is being used on an experimental basis to treat very severely ill patients with COVID-19. We heard that the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, along with the drug company Gilead Pharmaceuticals, is donating about 50 doses or enough remdesivir, enough of that drug to treat 50 patients here in Arkansas. So they will be donating that to the Arkansas Department of Health. That will be distributed by the Department of Health. Health Secretary Dr. Nate Smith saying that as of yesterday, 52 patients in Arkansas might meet the criteria for that drug. It is for severely ill people. Again, the state is receiving 50, enough of that drug to treat 50 patients, but also that is going along with the convalescent plasma treatment that the state is also beginning to utilize, where people who have recovered from COVID-19 can donate their blood plasma, and that can then be used that can be infused to treat critically ill COVID-19 patients. And again, just one last update from what we heard today from Governor Asa Hutchinson. As I'm sure you know, yesterday we saw restrictions on restaurant dining rooms being lifted in Arkansas. Restaurants are now allowed to operate at 1/3 capacity, open their dining rooms to patrons with social distancing and hygiene guidelines in place as well. We heard Governor Hutchinson say that on May 18th, next Monday, we will hear a decision from him on whether bars will be allowed to reopen. And that could mean he could decide on May 18th that bars can reopen on May 18th, or it could mean that on May 18th he decides bars can reopen a week or two from then, or that bars cannot reopen at all. So we will stay tuned to that decision. Also, shortly afterward, on May 20th, Governor Hutchinson says that will be the date when he will announce his decision on team sports and summer camps, whether those will be allowed to reopen. Again, you've been listening to the governor's live coronavirus briefing. This is 89.1 KUAR. Tune in tomorrow for our live coverage of tomorrow's daily briefing. And of course, tune in to All Things Considered this afternoon and Morning Edition tomorrow morning for more in-depth analysis. Thanks for listening. This is KUAR News.